नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल द सुप्रीम कैरेक्टर ऑफ जड़ भरत। टेक्स्ट 5, इट्स अ प्रोज फॉर्म, लॉन्ग वन। सचापि तदुह पितृसन्निधावेवा सद्रीचीनि इव स्म करोति छन्दांस्य ध्यापयिष्यन् सह व्यादृक् व्याहृतिभिः सप्रणवशिरस्त्रिपदीं सावित्रीं ग्रैष्मवासन्ती कान् मासा नधीय नप्य समवेत रूपं ग्राहयामास। श्रीमद् भागवतम वर्ड्स आर ट्रांसेंडेंटल सो इट शुड प्यूरिफाई अस वेदर यू अंडरस्टैंड इट और नॉट। दे आर कमिंग स्ट्रेट फ्रॉम द पेन ऑफ व्यासदेव। ट्रांसलेशन, ही बिहेव्ड इन दैट वे सो दैट हिज फादर वुड नो that he was unfit for instruction and would abandon the attempt to instruct him further. He would behave in a completely opposite way. Although instructed to wash his hands after evacuating, he would wash them before. Nonetheless, his father wanted to give him Vedic instructions during the spring and summer. He tried to teach him the Gayatri Mantra along with Omkara and Vyahruti. But after 4 months, his father still was not successful in instructing him. No purport, so we go to the next verse. The Brahmana father of Jad Bharat considered his son his heart and soul, and therefore he was very much attached to him. He thought it wise to educate him, his son, properly, and being absorbed in this unsuccessful endeavor, he tried to teach his son the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, including the execution of Vedic vows, cleanliness, study of the Vedas, the regulative methods, service to the spiritual master, and the method of offering a fire sacrifice. He tried his best to teach his son in this way, but all his endeavors failed. In his heart, he hoped that his son would be a learned scholar, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. Like everyone, this Brahmana was attached to his home, and he had forgotten that someday he would die. Death, however, was not forgetful. At the proper time, death appeared and took him away. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Those too attached to family life, who forget that death comes in the future to take them away, become attached and unable to finish their duty as human beings. The duty of human life is to solve all the problems of life. But instead, people remain attached to family affairs and duties. Although they forget death, death will not forget them. Suddenly they will be kicked off the platform of a peaceful family life. One may forget that he has to die, but death never forgets. Death comes always at the right time. The Brahmana father of Jad Bharat wanted to teach his son the process of brahmacharya, but he was unsuccessful due to his son's unwillingness to undergo the process of Vedic advancement. Jad Bharat was simply concerned with returning home back to Godhead by executing devotional service through Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho. He did not care for the Vedic instructions of his father. When one is fully interested in the service of the Lord, he does not need to follow all the regulative principles enunciated in the Vedas. Of course, for an ordinary man, the Vedic principles are imperative. No one can avoid them. But when one has attained the perfection of devotional service, it is not very important it is not very important to follow the Vedic principles. Lord Krishna advised Arjun to ascend to the platform of Nistraigunya, the transcendental position above the Vedic principles. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna Nirdvandvo Nityasattvastho Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject matter of the three modes of material nature. Arise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self.
Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudiraye.
So we are reading about the life of Jad Bharat. Actually, if we try to, in essence, in one line, try to say what is the life of Jad Bharat, it is a life of alertness. Whole life of Jad Bharat was a life of alertness. His great Shikshashtakam Prabhu once made a very wonderful comment which struck like a thunderbolt in my heart. And whenever I have spoken about it, devotees have told me, it really struck me very nicely. He was talking about this verse 7.14 in the Gita. Mameviye prapanna. Daiviyesha gudamai mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Krishna says that my maya is very difficult to overcome, and only a person who has surrendered unto me can actually overcome that. There is no other way. Mam eva. So he made a point. What is spiritual life? Spiritual life means becoming serious about two things. One devotee asked once, how to become serious in devotional life? So seriousness means to become serious about two things. We have to become serious about Maya, and we have to become serious about Krishna. Serious about the danger of again getting entangled into Maya, and seriousness about the gift of human form of life that has been given to us. Krishna has given a fat gift. It's good to remember. A fat gift. F-A-T. Human form of life is a facility with some ability and some time at our disposal. It's a facility. Human form of life is a powerful boat, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nudeham adhyam sulabham, easily got, but sudurlabham. With some residence, some influence. So it's a facility that's been offered. Beauty, intelligence, whatever. And it's some ability, some physical ability, some mental ability, some intellectual ability, and some time at our disposal. Prabhupada writes in one purport, what is this human body? It's a dead body flapping around for some time. So, this beautiful gift, and Krishna is seeing, how are you going to use this gift? And how we use speaks to Krishna, what do you want in our life? The moment there is repentance about our mistakes and penance in terms of not to do the same mistake again and take up seriously the process of Krishna consciousness, then the same energy, Mahamaya, that binds us becomes Yogamaya, a facility to go back home, back to Godhead. The same facilities of this world, which we are very careful about avoiding so that we don't get entangled, it becomes a wonderful facility to utilize in Krishna's service. That becomes yoga maya. So the external energy of the Lord becomes internal if there is repentance and penance within the heart of the living entity. So here we find in the life of Maharaj Bharat, tremendous repentance for misusing the gift that Krishna had given him. And what is the penance? The penance is not to repeat that same mistake again. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find another excellent example of another person who was also acting like a dull, foolish, stunted man. And that was Srila Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj. It is described in the Bhagavad, Tasya putro mahayogi samadrik nirvikalpakah ekant matir unnidro gudho mudha iveyate. His Vyasadeva's son was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist, whose mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. So Prabhupada explains very nicely in the purport. He says, unnidraha. He focuses on that word, unnidro. Unnidro means one who has surpassed nations. So, a liberated soul always remains. Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul. What is the meaning of a liberated soul? A liberated soul always remains alert not to be trapped by illusory energy. That's a liberated soul. He's liberated from further getting entangled. Why? Because he has taken seriously the gravity of the nature of Maya. He knows what a serious thing it is. If there is a contamination spread, if there is a contagious disease spread, anyone who understands the nature of the disease takes a lot of precaution not to be infected by it and takes all precautions of remaining hygiene or maintaining that hygiene, not to get infected again. Therefore, that was an extreme degree that these people showed because they actually understood the seriousness. So, the first sign of a liberated soul is his alertness. Yaha nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sayami yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato munih. What is night for a self-realized person is daytime for a conditioned soul. And what is daytime for them is night for a liberated soul. Meaning, when a self-realized person remains alert, at that place, a conditioned soul is sleeping. And where a conditioned soul is alert, the self-realized soul is sleeping. A conditioned soul is so alert to his looks, to his disposition, to how people perceive him, is so much body conscious. He's very alert to notice that, you know, am I presenting myself properly? Everything. How people are perceiving me. And there are so many things about how to make yourself perfectly presentable. So he's very alert to these things, but absolutely asleep to his real self. Whereas a self-realized person is much more alert to the need of the real self and asleep in the sense it's a little indifferent, not really so much concerned about the needs of the gross and subtle body. Just do whatever is necessary. So this is the difference in terms of their alertness. And what is the manifest? Alertness is a thing of the heart, internal thing. What is its external manifestation? External manifestation is engagement. By looking at the engagement of a personality, one can know whether he is self-conditioned or self-realized. A self-realized person is always engaged in the progressive path of spiritual attainment. He is always awake to that. Every moment he sees how in this particular situation, in this particular circumstance, I can make progress in self-realization. While a liberated soul's, a conditioned soul's, is so engaged, every situation, every circumstance is thinking, how I can get the best out of this situation. Therefore, their engagement, what is a activity for a conditioned soul, is a kind of dreaming state. The activities of the conditioned soul is perceived by a self-realization as a dreamy state. It's just like Bhavanand Prabhu was telling when they were going to this Hollywood area, Beverly Hills, in the West. Then Bhavanand Prabhu was looking at the beautiful palatial buildings, beautiful grass lawns in front and everything, and he was kind of getting attracted. And he looked at Prabhupada, and somehow Prabhupada, yes, you know, like, he collected sputum and, you know, like, what do you call it. Just before spitting, they make that sound, you know, and they get it out and... I don't know what's it called in English. But you collect all that, you bring it out and then spit it out. I don't know whether he spat at that, whatever, but Bhavan Prabhu said, Paramatma spoke to him, this is how a devotee looks at it. And immediately he just, from the dreamy state of wanting to acquire this dream world of consciousness, immediately came back to reality. This is all illusory, temporary, it's just like a phantasmagoria. It's a film. So, that is, and therefore, engagement. By one's engagement, one can know what is he alert to. So everywhere he sees an opportunity to serve Krishna. And the third thing, first is alertness in terms of externally manifest as engagement. And eventually, absorption. A spiritualist is always absorbed in spirit. And he's indifferent to matter. Whereas a conditioned soul is absorbed in matter and indifferent to spirit. So by a person's absorption, one can easily make out whether he is advancing or whether he is degrading. So, externally, two people, a conditioned soul and a liberated soul, may seem to be on the same platform. But actually there is a big difference, a vast difference between the two. One is absorbed in spirit, indifferent to matter. One is absorbed in matter, indifferent to spirit. Now, what is this indifference? How is this developed? How to develop this indifference? Or, indifference to matter is an external manifestation of a particular kind of consciousness. And that is explained in the next verse. Next verse, Suta Goswami is saying, while Sri Vyasadeva was following his son, beautiful young damsels who were bathing naked covered their bodies with cloth, although Sri Vyasadeva himself was not naked. But they had not done so when his son had passed. The sage inquired about this, and the young ladies replied that his son was purified, and when looking at them, made no distinction between male and female. But the sage made such distinctions. So, this particular word, vivikta drishtehe. Vivikta means purified, and drishte means vision. So, he had purified vision, And therefore, this indifference to matter and becoming serious about absorption in the spirit was there in Shukadeva Goswami. So what is that Vivikta Drishtehe? That is, as also Bhagavad Gita explains, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunicha Iva Shopakecha Panditaha Samadarshina. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane, a devotee of the Lord, Prabhupada explains, Shukadeva Goswami had attained that stage of spiritual vision. He saw all living entities in different dress. Whether you see a learned and gentle Brahmana or a dog or a dog eater or an elephant, he just saw the spirit soul within, decorated by different kinds of dress. There are 84 lakhs of them. But it is the same soul which is decorated in different dresses. So a man of essence sees that. One should attempt to know the distinction between spirit soul without attachment for male and female. So indifference to matter means there are two extremes. One extreme is becoming absorbed. Another extreme is becoming neglectful of matter. At least at a sadhaka stage, we can't become absorbed. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Niyamagraha. There are some rules and regulations which slowly makes us come to the platform of Vivikta Drishtehe. Gradually. Kramashaha. Adav Shraddha Adada Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nirti Nishtha. This is slowly, gradually it happens. So this gradual process of becoming indifferent to matter and becoming serious about the spirit is the process of bhakti. Karmis, or those who know matter only, materialistic means those who think only of matter, are indifferent to spirit. For them, absorption in matter is all in all. For them, karma is recommended, regulated sense gratification. For those who are absorbed in matter. And for jnanis who know, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna. They know that matter, whether it's Brahma Loka or Patal Loka, everywhere, it's all matter, it's all finished, negligible. For them, what remains in the heart is dry indifference. Somebody is dying, you are not the body. Somebody is getting a lottery ticket, you are not this body, it's all illusion. It's a dream world. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So what remains in their heart is dry indifference to things of this world. But for a devotee, there is one additional advantage. And that additional advantage is, he knows, he has so many lusty and material desires in the heart, he is attached to this world. He knows it. Vishaya Durjana Sada Kamerata Kichunahim Arguna. At the same time, he also knows that whole world is simply Maya Jal. It's all illusion. But there is one advantage. And that advantage is he has Shraddha. He has faith. Faith in what? Faith that beyond this material world is actual, real, progressive spiritual existence. That's what discriminates a karmi and a jnani and a devotee. A devotee is like a karmi in terms of having material desires. But he's also like a jnani in terms of being indifferent to matter, knowing it's all temporary. But the only advantage that a devotee has, he has faith in life beyond this material world, which jnani has no access and karmi also are no access. Therefore, bhakti begins with adav shraddha, faith. Faith in what? Faith in Lord being a person, faith in the spiritual world, which is being full of wonderful spiritual existence. That faith is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. And In a sadhaka stage, little indifference is there, little absorption is also there in matter. But as a person slowly, 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 slowly progresses, then gradually indifference comes to matter and absorption slowly reduces in matter. And at a later stage, monism means neutrality. But after which, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. At that time what he performs is actually pure devotional service. Till then it is mixed service. Little absorption, I get facility also. Little indifference, I neglect also. But after Brahma Bhuta stage, that is pure devotional service. Because at that time, the whole existence is simply absorbed in rendering service to the... And that's the life of Maharaj Bharat. He had, just like in Hindi there is a saying, Dood ka jala chhas bhi phook ke peeta hai. So, because of having burnt out in the last life, he's taking extra precaution. Extra precaution. He's dressing like a madman, acting, making an effort to act like a madman. You ask him to wash afterwards, evacuating, he after does before. Actually, fool will not do before or after. But he's doing before. That means he's acting. It's actually very difficult to act mad. For a mad person, it is very easy to mad. But to act mad, you know, there is some, you can easily find out. It takes one to know one, of course. So one who is mad after Krishna can another recognize another person. Ah, I know, you are also. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he saw a fat man lying naked. He said, yeah, you are a great ruler, because I know. You are indifferent to matter, but you are absolutely absorbed in spirit. So, that is the description given, Vivikta Drishtehe. As long as this distinction is there, one shouldn't become a sannyasi like Sukadeva Goswami. And what is the hope for the devotees? At least theoretically, be convinced that one is not a male or female. At least theoretically be convinced. Sachinandan Maharaj was giving brahmachari class one time. He said, first, initial stage, a brahmachari sees Mataji as Maya. He says, from there you should rise to the level of seeing everyone as Mataji, mother. And later you should see as another spirit soul. One can't artificially imitate. Otherwise, he can't imitate for long. The original nature will come out. The outward dress is made by material nature to attract opposite sex and keep one entangled in material existence. A liberated soul is above this perverted distinction. Vyasdev, even though on a similar platform, didn't pretend to be a liberated person as a matter of social custom. So as a matter of social custom, a liberated soul may act on a particular platform and make all this discrimination. As a matter of social custom, for a matter of preaching, etc., we may do that. An advanced soul may do that. So the point is, this absorption, and this is exactly... The whole life of Bharat Maharaj is a life of alertness. Only when he found a proper engagement did he give up this foolishness and speak to Maharaj Rahuguna. Because he saw there is actually wonderful ability, a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And if I speak for few minutes, thousands of people will be benefited. If Maharaj Rahuguna becomes a nice devotee, because he is a king, so many people will be delivered. Therefore, he saw as an opportunity, and his nature overcame all his acting, and he did speak. He saw that this person is actually receptive. Otherwise, he won't speak. The light of Bhagavad says, like a waterfall in a mountain. During summer season, it becomes a small stream or sometimes disappears. When we went to Badrinath, somebody said, this is Agastya Dhara. There is no Dhara, there is no water there. But this is Agastya Dhara, unmanifest now. And during rainy season, there is a big Dhara there. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord, when required, acts like a dull, foolish fellow. And when required, his shrewdness and smartness comes out. Otherwise, he acts like, oh, achha, innocent. We can't artificially act like either Sukadeva Goswami or this, but this is indifference. When not required, just like the tortoise draws his senses and when required, opens the senses. Kurmungani va sarvashah. So that's the sadhaka process. Actually, after few years of devotional life, then the actually you realize what is devotional service. It takes time. Generally around age 40. Of course, some exceptional cases may be there. But I'm also thinking of doing a seminar, devotional service at 40. At 40, actually it's like an adolescence in spiritual life. When the childhood is gone and you're not an adult yet. Because just like at adolescence, true sex life is not understood in the child till he is actually adolescent. Similarly, after performing devotional service for some time, after some time you start seeing things. Utsahat nishchaya dhairya. Nishchaya is there. But in the previous, in the beginning of devotional service, in a neophyte stage, there is so much utsaha and no dhairya. There is so much enthusiasm, bubbling enthusiasm, and restlessness, impatience. I want to make whole Krishna conscious, no, world Krishna conscious today. I want to make this fellow chant Hare Krishna by the end of my lecture 1 hour. Before the end of the lecture, you should be chanting 16 rounds. There is enthusiasm and there is restlessness, impatience. But at a later age, so much patience, no enthusiasm. Only dhairya, and no enthusiasm. There is a balance. So a stage comes when, you know, this is too much enthusiasm. This is frivolous enthusiasm. But at the same time you feel, no, am I becoming lazy? So, this balance is there. I was reading a statement from General Patton. This is an American general who fought so many battles. He was telling, what is the difference between rashness and calculated risk? He said, a person should take calculated risk. Otherwise you will never win. You have to take risk. But in the beginning stage, we take uncalculated risk. We take so much risk. We read about Haridas Thakur and we think, I should also do that. But at a later age, we become so calculative that we don't take any risk. So calculate, therefore, in a leadership, I think we should have young blood and also old blood. Young blood derives enthusiasm and old blood gives a little, you know, utsaha is there and dhairya. Don't worry, it's all right. Cool down. Don't get discouraged. But if simply enthusiasm is there, then we will pay a hard price. Even in our leadership in ISKCON, we have seen. It may be choti mu badi baat. It may be speaking big philosophy, but after Prabhupada left, the leadership was very young. Everyone was, you know, like enthusiastic. Do as Prabhupada did. Say what I said. Everyone did that. And that maturity was lacking where a broader perspective could not be seen and nobody was there to kind of guide. And therefore, because of impatience, certain things which are long-term things were neglected, which we are paying for it now. But if you simply have oldies, then there is no enthusiasm. No, let's be more traditional, be more orthodox. No, don't take risk. So a balance of that is required. And therefore, it is a must for anyone above 40 to regularly preach and be in the association of bubbling, enthusiastic new devotees who come to the temple. So they are enthusiastic. So you also understand, yeah, it's possible. And it's also equally required for young devotees to focus their enthusiasm with the patience and the wisdom. And by Prabhupada's mercy, today in this society, in ISKCON society, we have the wisdom and the dhairya of this wonderful, glorious senior Vaishnavas and the enthusiasm of the younger group. So that proper combination, nishchaya is there everywhere. But this kind of balance can actually slowly, eventually bring that alertness, bring that absorption and bring that engagement. And then the sadhaka, it's a sadhaka stage. We can't go this way completely neglectful of rules, thinking I'm too advanced now, I don't need to follow any rules. Or neither do we become so absorbed in rules and regulations that we forget the principle. So the tendency to neglect is there in over. What is the difference between over enthusiasm? Over enthusiasm means enthusiasm without dhairyas. Restless, that is over enthusiasm. We take uncalculated risk, that is over enthusiasm. And a person may become critical of someone on the other side, thinking he is too lazy to. And simply dhairya without enthusiasm becomes laziness. So calculative that you won't take any risk. Of course, I think that's probably one of the reasons why for the topmost leadership in the nation, they have made 35 years as minimum. I don't know, is it right? Anyone aware? To be prime minister or this one? 35? President. What are the board over the prime minister? Are you sure? Hare Krishna. At least the president should be 35 then. So, that kind of balance, if that is there, that's a gift actually. It's a wonderful benediction if in a society this kind of people exist. And the association of this is and a wonderful combination is actually a benediction. Whoever can have that facility, it's actually a benediction. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions or comments.
Hare Krishna. Roji, you were mentioning a definition of a liberated soul. So you're saying that he is very alert. But he is free from anarthas or he is curbing his anarthas?
A liberated soul is called liberated because he is free from anarthas. But the potential is always there. Just like same Bharat Maharaj, he was practically a liberated soul, but then he was not alert. In a sense, he just neglected. We were discussing so much about the importance of association of devotees. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. So, somewhere along that was lacking and potentially, actually it is said Shulapani samajadi Vaishnav ninda kare. There are certain things. Giriraj Maharaj was once telling two things. He said, why a people become, why even advanced people may have problems. One is because of callousness, which eventually leads to offenses. So he was callous. He became little callous. Hridaya daurbalyam. He had some weakness of the heart. So naturally, as Srinathji Prabhu made that statement very nicely, he said, being a king, that Ishwar Bhav Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sahridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the caretaker, I am the well-wisher. So, when king generally has that feeling, because he is like a protector, so that thing is deep-rooted, you know, caring and giving shelter, controlling, and he's the enjoyer because everything comes to him ultimately, all the taxes come to him ultimately. So that weakness was there, Hridaya Daurbalyam. And that Daurbalyam is explained in the 15th chapter, last verse purport. The last paragraph of 15th chapter you read, Prabhupada explains, there are two kinds of weakness of the heart. One is trying to lord it over nature, and number two, in the process to become attached. So these are the two greatest weakness of the heart, Hridaya Daurbalyam. That's material consciousness. The moment you start thinking that you can do something on behalf of Krishna or like Krishna, lording it over matter, in the process you become attached. Maya gives you that facility. Yes, Ishwaroham, Aham Bhogi, Shaddoham, Balavan. So, it was due to callousness. He became careless because of that lack of alertness. He became callous to the rules of the scriptures. He started thinking, he is the protector. He is the well-wisher. So it was a kind of a sattvic anartha, but it was anartha nevertheless. So, potentially it is there. And that leads to offenses. You are offending the Lord. The deer came and ate all that paraphernalia, which was kept for worship. It's offensive. But because of it's all right. Poor thing. He became offensive. And due to the offense, he had to learn the lesson. A costly one. So potentially is there. This, the freedom is always there. That freedom is never taken away. And freedom means responsibility. The more freedom one is given, the more responsible, great responsibility lies. Therefore, in the human form of life, is there a life of responsibility? And we see in his later life, he was over careful, not to fall and do the same mistake again. The whole life of Bharat Maharaj is one of over carefulness, which is good. Better to do over in this side rather than on that side. It's like a surgeon. A surgeon has to perform his duty. He has to go meet patients, see patients. At the same time, he knows patients means all infected cases, contagious. So he says, how can I go into the world? How could I go into the hospital? He has to go for rounds. But at the same time, he knows that it's dangerous. Therefore, he takes all precautions. He puts a mask, puts some gloves, and immediately after that, he washes himself, cleanses himself. That is rules and regulations. If you neglect rules, if you think you are so advanced that you can neglect rules, when there is spontaneous love, the essential rule is followed, therefore all neglect can be there. For a higher principle, a lower principle can be given up. Advancement means for a higher principle, a lower principle is given up. Degradation means for a lower principle, a higher principle is given up. That is degradation. So for the dear Lord, he gave, if you give up a dear, your dear ones, that's one thing. But for your dear ones, you give up the dear Lord, that is degradation. Is that make sense? So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.